All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about Jupiter's Legacy, not Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, I stand by that movie. I liked it.
All right, so this one is another superhero. It's more of a drama than anything else on Netflix. First scene, I was like, all right, what's another superhero? It looks a little hokey. And then it went straight into CW territory after that.
Yeah,
but the synopsis is the first generation of superheroes has kept the world safe for nearly a century. Now their children must live up to their legacy in an epic drama that spans decades and navigates the dynamics of the family. So like I said, it kind of starts off with a action scene. Josh Duhamel plays a character named Utopian. He's the Superman analog, but this also centers around a group that like the Justice League, but it jumps back and forth through time, particularly with Josh Duhamel's character, where he was actually a human being. He's not just like some random person from a distant planet. That he was grown up in the 20s. His father had a steel mill, minor player in the steel industry during a time where it was like U.S. Steel, the major players. His father started doing some funny stuff with the money. And then Black Friday, the stock market crash in the 20s, happens. So his brother, who was played by Ben Daniels, Josh Mel is like the younger son, kind of cocky, and Ben Daniels is the person that he's more reserved, more focused on the business side. And then their father commits suicide based off of what happened. But then in the midst of that suicide, Josh Duhamel starts seeing visions, and then it turns into jumping back and forth between Josh Duhamel already having the Utopian's powers and then all the family drama. So again, it is more of a drama than it is superhero. So I would probably say there might have been eight episodes. Yeah, so maybe every other episode might have had a superhero action scene.
The focus definitely wasn't on the superhero. It peaked early with that fight, but...
Yeah, so I'll start off, but what this kind of reminded me of was a more modern take on The Watchmen. That if you combine The Watchmen with the Charles Xavier Magneto arc, that's what this is. There's all these stories going back and forth. And the relationship between the characters, the relationship between what the characters used to be, and then also what will be the right way to handle things.
I wouldn't agree about it being like The Watchmen. You're accurate in what your assessment of the whole thing. Think about it is that it's more like the whole Justice League arc and Superman and what were those old-fashioned classic heroes, yeah, your classical heroes values. And apply to today's modern world. And I mean, The Watchmen was kind of different. Didn't do that for the most part. The first generation who's all heroic and wonderful and stuff, but see the younger generation and they're a bunch of damn screw ups. What they did for me didn't really work that well. And that's kind of why I'm like, I guess it's kind of like that. My thoughts on it is just that it, someone who read the comic books, it did touch on a lot of the things that the comic books touched on, but the comic book itself really wasn't that deep. In the first place, so it's kind of a shallow. Yeah, I forgot to say that
this is a based off a comic book. I think it's Mark Millar,
guy who did Kick-Ass, does the same deconstruction of it. Worked better when it was showing the idea of these heroes and what they were doing. So Utopian and his team, they've got these godlike powers. Their story is showing what happened in the 20s, went to get to their powers, how those superpowers got to the planet. And then you flash forward to modern day, and they're like 100 years later, you see what their kids are up to. You see the daughter's a hot mess. She's what? A
drug addict. Out
junkie. Yeah, she's a drug addict, Kardashian-esque. Yeah, the son who is not so much a screw up as someone who is like...
He's trying to live in the shadow of his father and exactly, unsure about what his role should be.
Right. And then you got the guy's brother, the Utopian's brother, Brainwave, and he is questioning whether or not the path that they've taken, that this path of non-interference.
Main things that for how they got their powers is that they can't necessarily be involved in politics. So they can't directly intervene. They can stop crimes, but they can't just say, here's your set of laws and...
The governments are the ones who are elected by the people, so it's not like they can't. It's just that their code, and it's Utopian's code.
And
that
the says, other part of the code is do not kill.
Right. His son kills a villain. He does like an atomic drop on the dude. He punches his face in.
Like Dark Side and Apocalypse together.
Exactly. They basically punch the dude's face in, killing him. And big thing, he's broken the code. There's a lot of tension around the group around that. They're trying to discover what's going on and where did this threat come from. The daughter is going through her thing, lost in her way, on drugs, messing around with folks, acting a damn fool. The other younger hero is trying to live up to the ideal, but they're getting killed. So they're wondering whether or not they should start taking out.
So the big crux of this is that Utopian's set of rules is we don't intervene in politics or government level stuff, and we don't kill. But then you have all these super criminals, villains, killing the Justice League. So what do you do? You just keep going about, we don't kill, we don't do anything, we just send them back to jail, let them break out and knock us off one by one? Or do we end the problem there? So that's the big question the show tries to ask, but for me, I just didn't need 8 episodes of that. Mainly with the back and forth jumping between the 20s and the current day, 20 stuff could have been wrapped up a lot earlier, or it could have just been 6
episodes. I didn't need to draw it out that far.
I think benefiting from like maybe 4 to 6 episodes would have helped this.
Or kept it to just flashbacks. I know some people don't like flashbacks, but...
Well, I mean, the show is pretty much a flashback.
By a flashback, I mean, they don't devote 30 minutes of a 45-minute episode to that whole flashback. It's basically, you give us 5 minutes of a scene where how they got to the island, going through some of the trials and stuff like that. And they could have stretched those scenes out across the course of the 8 episodes and kept the focus on the modern day storytelling of what was happening. I agree with you. I think it split too much of his focus on between what happened in the past and then what was going on then.
And then all the stuff that's current day is everybody screwed up or everyone,
right,
some type of issue. The Utopian and his wife, who also has superpowers, and then their children, the children of the people that were also in the original Justice League, are basically just partying, drinking. One guy sleeps with Utopian's daughter so he can try to get into the league. So
what is that team name called? Like, now I'm curious. Like, what the heck were they called? Yeah, they're called the Union.
The whole thing basically just leads to a Charles Xavier, Magneto type of fallout, but it's being drawn out into another season. That's really what it is. It's just two different views on the same thing.
Right.
One person has the righteous view, another person has the alternative view. And that's the whole entire series of 8 episodes. And then all the stuff going on with the children is about the children. Should they be out there handling the criminals the easy way or the hard way?
Point, and I kind of know where your score is leading to. Like, I'll say this, the comic book is not that much better.
I can't imagine it being that, just because if you had the person that developed the comic book also involved in movies, he has done other movies, and also this is his property and he's bringing it to Netflix. But for me, it's like once it started hitting all the family stuff, that's when I was just like, yeah.
That's where the difference is at lie. I think the biggest problem that I have with this is that back when this thing came out, back in 2013, reading this, you were like, oh, snap. So it hasn't gotten to the major arc's twist, like the big shock moment of the arc. Now, I'm assuming that's going to happen next season. Spent way too much time with the stuff that went on in the 20s. I think that should have been cut out of that. I think that there's unfortunately too little too late this type of show. Like, we've seen The Boys, and then we just saw Invincible. Like, the shock value's done. Jupiter's Legacy was shocking in what happened. Like, you saw some stuff like superheroes doing some outlandish stuff, Kick-Ass level type of thing. Someone doing another movie, you had another character like Hit Girl, trash talking 10-year-old, running around cutting people in half and stuff. The shock value is over with. So with The Boys on Amazon and Invincible on Amazon again, Zack Snyder's Justice League, seeing something like this pop up, you're kind of like, even seeing some of the stuff on the CW, like effects and the level of action on it is below what you saw on the CW on
TV show. And Josh Duhamel doesn't look right in that suit.
Put in the work and the effort for it and stuff. And honestly, he's got the stature for it, but
it looks like a broke Thor wearing the Homelander's costume.
Yeah, pretty much. It didn't come off as very grandiose. And in fact, like, they shouldn't even padded him up that much. Like,
know that he's strong because he's the Utopian.
Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, just not enough. If this had come out before The Boys, I think we'd be looking at it a little bit differently.
I don't know.
Giving a different shake on it. The problem with this, like I said, it just wasn't enough. And there wasn't enough focus on what their storyline was going to be. Are we supposed to be invested in the mystery of their powers? Are we supposed to be invested in this discussing the code? They didn't do any world building. And then that's the thing with Mark Miller's comic books. He doesn't do any world building. You basically fill in the blanks yourself. You've got to do something to give the audience something to gravitate to or hold on to. So if they'd have made it, the kids are all fuck ups, being ridiculous. So many areas where they didn't flesh anything out. At some point, it's all got to come together, and it didn't really come together.
I guess what score would you give this?
I won't be watching again, so that drops it below a 6. If the action scenes had been good, I would have given it more, but the action scenes aren't that good. So I'm going to give this like a 4.
Yeah, what little action scenes there are, first of all.
The ones that were in there, they weren't shit. And I'm disappointed because Stephen DeKnight did this. He did Spartacus.
Yeah. So he knows
that. He had zero budget. He knows better. He had zero budget for Spartacus, and he came up with greatness. 4 seasons of concise, tightly told storytelling greatness. Even having that lead actor die in the middle of the show.
And had to do a prequel.
Exactly. I mean, he knows how to craft the show and stuff like that. This was all over the place. And like I said, I'm just a little disappointed that he didn't tighten it up a little bit. He's got to do something because I'm not alone in my feeling that this is disappointing. Next season should pick up, kind of get it moving with their big shocking event. If you're looking for something to watch, I would wait till the second season comes out.
I'll give this a 4 also. I think for this, it might be easier just to watch a YouTube video that gives the synopsis, of season 1, and then just pick up season 2, see if it gets interesting. Did a significant arc, the Magneto Charles Xavier arc. So is there going to be fallout from that? Is there going to be some more manipulation? But I just didn't need 8 episodes of where we got to with this.
Yeah, I mean, definitely didn't need to do that. And
plus all the issues with the children, and I mean, certain episodes just kind of took over with their issues. Haven't seen better stuff recently, particularly Invincible, I mean, which also kind of delves into more family issues.
Yeah, it handled that very well. And that it did the world building extremely well. I watched 5 episodes of Superman and Lois. Perfect. You got Superman, and he's got 2 kids who are getting into trouble and they're going to live up to what he does and everything. That show was phenomenal. That's the best part of that show is the family dynamic. Superman trying to raise 2 kids. On paper, it sounds like it would be awesome if it was done correctly. And this is that's done correctly. And then I see this and you're like, a Superman character, he's married to Wonder Woman, their 2 kids are fucked up. Like, on paper, it sounds like, oh shit, I want to check out what's happening. And then you look at the kids and you're like, Jesus Christ, the son is boring as fuck.
Yeah, they really don't do too much for him.
He gets something significant in the comic books. They're trying to hold off on that as long as possible. You know, it's like a Walking Dead Negan moment. They're trying to drag it out as much as possible, and they don't need to drag it out. Like, you can wrap this thing up in 3 seasons. You don't need to have it for like 5-10 seasons or whatever.
If this lasts, I think 2 seasons of it is probably enough.
Yeah.
And considering Netflix's level of shows, kind of gets lost, and next month they have 4 or 5 different TV shows, a whole bunch of different movies, and nobody's really looking for this. I mean, it's not like it's The Crown. It's not like it's House of Cards. It is a below average drama that involves superheroes.
It's not dramatizing the areas that need to be dramatized. There is a market for that. I mean, the CW shows, for the most part, they're not top tier television, but they're consistent in their number. And the formula is simple. You got to have good action, semi-decent special effects that backs up the action, entertaining, for the most part, characters and storylines, for the most part. And it doesn't have to be deep, methodical, and in-depth and whatever. It's just got to have those beats for people to enjoy, to sit there and enjoy. In this case, I think it's one part, it takes itself way too seriously. And another part is that they're focusing on the wrong thing. One guy who goes nuts and decides to go to this mysterious island and then trying to uncover that, that's a storyline in of itself. Fine, then you should have focused on that. If you want to focus on where those kids are, like, focus on that. Like, don't muddle the whole damn thing up. It's not focused enough. That's in the end game. The action wasn't good enough, and the special effects were terrible. It looked cheap and dated, and it's just like, yikes. And like,
it looks like Netflix probably didn't have a lot of faith in the show. So,
I think if you look
at The Boys, and I mean, obviously The Boys has to span all those special effects, VFX, over the same amount of episodes.
Yeah, yeah, eight episodes.
You can tell Amazon decided to put money into it.
You probably had like two major action sequences in this whole
season. The one with the, I forgot what the guy's name was.
Blackstar. Yeah, and they fought the Blackstar guy.
Yeah.
Last fight scene where they fought him again.
Yeah.
That, to the point, was unnecessary. Yeah. Like, you had one massive fight scene, and you had a bunch of smaller ones or some blurbs and showing their powers and stuff. It didn't need to be that expensive. But I am a fan of the showrunner. I will watch next season because it's Stephen DeKnight. Spartacus is my go-to thing. I'm going to rewatch the entire series, season one to season four, and I will enjoy it immensely.
So you have a lot of people behind it. I mean, again, Stephen DeKnight also was a producer on Daredevil.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got to know this.
I think he also did Smallville at some point.
Yes, did Smallville. Worked on Angel. Yeah, he was a showrunner on Daredevil. So he's got the chops to do this. He lost focus. Unfortunately, he wrote Pacific Rim Uprising. I won't hate him forever for that, but, you know.
That's Beast Game Podcast.
Yeah, man, there's not too much to say about it.